Giving to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to continue on in our series in the book of Galatians. And inside that Galatians series, we've gone on and started doing a little bit of a mini series about the fruits of the Spirit. And we're on the word peace tonight, the fruit peace. And we're going to be preaching tonight a message entitled Walking with Peace. Walking with Peace. I appreciate you being here. As I said, I know there was a rain. I'm sure some people couldn't make it because of the rain. I know some people aren't feeling the greatest, and we do miss our teenagers and those that are helping with them, but we are glad you're here tonight. Now, here in Galatians chapter number 5, as we've done the last few weeks, we're going to look at laying a foundation. I know we've done it the last few weeks, but for those that may have not been here, but also to help us, remind us of what we're going for and what we're trying to get at when it comes to this idea of bearing fruit in the Spirit. We've learned in John chapter 15, the Bible says, without me, ye can do nothing. We're not going to be able to bear these fruits of the Spirit without the Holy Spirit's help. Let's go ahead and start here in Galatians chapter number 5. And we're going to start in verse number 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. So we have the answer here to those sins that we struggle so much with. If we are walking in the Spirit, according to what the Bible teaches us here, it's a wonderful truth. If we could get this nailed down, is if we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here we go and look at why and the purpose of this. It says in verse number 17, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. You see the war that's going on here. You can't please both at the same time. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We talked about what the Spirit produces, and we talked about what the flesh produces. We see the manifestation in the flesh in verses 19 through 21, where the Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Once again, you might say, well, I can live and do whatever I want. I can live according to the flesh. It's not going to hurt me. But according to what the Bible says, this flesh is sooner or later going to manifest these type of sins. It says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see that word of flesh is going to lead us. It's going to take us to a pathway that we do not want to go down. We do not want to be like these things. And the wonderful thing we see in verse number 22, and we've put emphasis in the past weeks about that word, but. There's a difference. As a Christian, as someone who has the Spirit of God living inside of us, we do not have to manifest these things in our lives. If we're living according to the flesh, we will manifest these things. If we continue to live in these things and live according to the flesh, that's when it's referring to shall not inherit the kingdom of God. A person who continually lives in that way over and over and over in their lives without the chastisement of God, we need to question whether or not they truly are a Christian, whether or not they are saved. In verse 22, you see, but the fruit of the Spirit. If you're living according to the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, this is what you're going to produce. And we look at these words and we say love, we see joy, we see peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We looked at the word love. We talked about walking in love. And then we looked last week about walking with joy. And this week we're going to look about walking with peace. Now here's the thing. We go look at this list and some of us will say, you know what? I'm pretty good at that long-suffering one. You know, that's the gift that God's given me. That's not what it's talking about when it comes to gifts. It's saying if you allow the Holy Spirit of God to control your life, these fruits will be manifested in your lives. And some people think, and it looks, well, I'm struggling a little bit with joy, or I'm struggling a little bit with goodness, I'm struggling a little bit with temperance. And they say, well, I need to find some self-help classes. I need to read some books. But the truth is, it's how we abide with God. If we're lacking in some of these, we need to look at our relationship with God, because it's not what we can do. The fruit of the Spirit is what we can manifest the Spirit can manifest in our lives, what the Lord himself and his Spirit is able to take and work out of us. It's not about anything we can do on our own. It's by giving complete control over to God and giving complete control of walking in the Spirit, God then will manifest these things in your life. So many times people say, well, I just need to learn how to love better. And that is true. We probably need to learn how to love God better, because as our relationship and as we are abiding in Christ, then the Bible says we will bear fruit. Doesn't even just say we'll bear fruit. It says we'll bear much fruit. And I know that some people believe that's in a reference to soul winning. And I agree that is something that is secondary. But as you are winning the fruit, as you have the fruit of the Spirit manifesting itself in its life and you're walking with God, you are going to win people to Christ. But bearing fruit is referring to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Also, it's referring to things like this. So if we have the Holy Spirit of God controlling in our lives, these things will be evident. So we come to this whole point. We looked at it a few weeks ago. What does it really mean to walk in love? And we talked about loving our enemies. And we talked about praying for those that disrespect us. All those different things. We say, how in the world can we do that? And the truth is, we can't. We come to the point, our flesh is unable to. But the Holy Spirit of God can manifest these things in your life. You say, I've been struggling with this. It's because we need to go back and look at, am I abiding with God? Am I walking with God? It all goes back to that relationship we have with Jesus Christ, that personal relationship. Are we abided? Are we connected in? Last week we talked about having joy in the face of danger, having joy in the face of circumstances that are overwhelming. You say, how in the world can a person do that? The truth is, they can't. But the Spirit of God leading them and the Spirit of God working and making himself evident in their life, that's when they can have the joy that those martyrs had that we talked about. That's when they can see people who are going through trials and tribulations with a great joy in their heart. It's not something they've worked up. It's not something that they've made. It is the Holy Spirit of God manifesting himself in their lives. It is Christ in us. It's Christ working through us. This is the whole point. And so when we look at these different fruits of the Spirit, you say, Pastor, you're taking one each week, because I want us to look at it and say, is this true about my life? Because if this is not true about my life, what is it that I need to go back and I need to work on? Because Jesus told us he wants to leave us with peace. He wants us to live a life of peace, not like the peace the world gives us, but he says that you can live a life of peace. Last week, I began by reading a little article that was written by a commentator, and I want to do the same thing this week. I did not write this personally, but something I enjoyed, and I think will help you enjoy about the peace that Jesus wants to leave us. It says, peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. And that's found in John 14:27. It was his legacy. It was bequeathed on the edge of Calvary by the Prince of Peace himself. His peace was truly the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. He could sleep amid the raging storm. He could await unmoved the approach of a demon-possessed madman that was a terror of everyone else in that part of the country. He could hold his peace when his enemies baited and badgered and falsely accused and mocked and railed upon him. The peace of God garrisoned his heart against all ills and all odds. It is impossible to think of God being agitated, worried, or upset. He is omniscient, that is, knows all things, including how it is all going to end. He is omnipotent, that is, all-powerful, able to create 100 billion galaxies with a single word. Nothing can thwart his will or defeat his purpose. He is omnipresent, that means everywhere. Nothing can happen behind his back. The peace of God cannot be disturbed. No man, no combination of men, no demon, no coalition of demons can break this Olympian calm. It is unassailable peace of one who is all wise and all powerful, who has all things under his control, who overlooks no details, fears no foes, and makes no mistakes, and one who proceeds majestically onward towards goals and objectives that he himself has set. This is the peace that Jesus enjoyed as a man. An atmosphere of perfect peace surrounded him every step of the journey from cradle to grave. And he says, peace I leave with you. And he says, after Pentecost, he had learned how to walk in the Spirit, Simon Peter entered into this type of peace. Before Pentecost, he bristled at the bare suggestion from a mere serving maid that he was a follower of the man of Galilee. He could deny his Lord as much as he loved him to save his own skin, even with oaths and curses. After Pentecost, however, we see a different Peter. We see him in person now, arrested by Herod and sentenced to death. His dear friend and colleague, James, had already been beheaded. The date has been set for Peter's execution. Tomorrow, 16 soldiers took turns ensuring that he wouldn't be rescued. Tomorrow, Peter was going to die. But what is Peter doing in the jail cell? Is he biting his fingernails? Is he breaking out in a cold sweat of fear and tearing at his fetters? No. Is he pacing up and down his cell to the end of the tether and back again, plucking up his courage, resolving to die like a man or like a Christian? No. Is he praying that his faith might not fail as it almost had once before? No. What was he doing? He was asleep, sound asleep, rolled up in his cloak, and at perfect peace, sleeping like a baby. Peace. What's the difference? Here now he is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives within him. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit ministered to us as we rest in the arms of Jesus, as he himself had rested in the arms of his fathers. The world is longing for peace. The world wants peace of mind. The world wants inner peace. The world wants world peace. We hear about it every day. They're looking and searching for peace. Some people search for peace in a bottle or pills. The more they seem to seek peace, the less they seem to find it. Tonight, I want you to understand that the Spirit of God lives in us. The same Spirit of God that lived in Peter, that was within Peter, and the same Spirit of God, of the Spirit, that what Jesus' Spirit that lives inside of us, the one that could see him walk through this. I know I've said this before. We are never going to reach that pinnacle of becoming like Christ until we get to heaven. I get that. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. But I want you to look at our lives and see, are we really, truly walking with peace? Do we have peace in our hearts? Or do we become agitated? Do we become overwhelmed? Do we want to throw up our hands and throw in the towel? The truth is, do we have the Holy Spirit of God controlling our lives and him producing the fruit of peace? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful for tonight. Thankful for all the people that are here. Lord, I pray you help us. There are a lot of things, Lord, that's on my heart. And Lord, I pray you just give me the right things to say. Encourage the people tonight. Lord, I know that so many people in this world are entangled up with such a mess and that they don't know which way to go. Lord, help us to look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you ever heard some sayings where people feel like they've become so frustrated that I thought that maybe you can help me finish some of these sayings. Okay, I am ready to throw in the... You got it. I'm at the end of my... You ever been there? I am just a bundle of... Very good. I thought somebody was going to say energy, but got it. Nerves, you got it. My life is falling. That's right. I'm at my wits. If you like Odyssey, you would know that answer. So, I feel like resigning from the human. That's right. Now, you know, some people, when they get that way, you know what they do? They like to turn to a bottle. I mean, they think they can find peace in alcohol. Some people, when they get that way, they think a type of pill or a drug can help them. Some think that they can look for a certain relationship and being accepted by certain people will bring peace. But see, peace is not the mere absence of the war. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus Christ. See, peace is harmony and oneness with God's purposes. And the Bible speaks much about different ways. In the Old Testament, the word peace was the word shalom. It means a desire or a prayer that all is well with you. In the New Testament, the word peace means to bind together as opposed to falling apart. And sometimes people feel like their lives are falling apart. They want to throw in the towel. They're at the end of their rope. They're at their wit's end. They feel like they're giving up from the whole human race. But the word here in the New Testament means that for peace means to bind together. See, God wants your life to be bound together by his love. He doesn't want your life falling apart. He wants our marriages to be a place of peace, not a place where things are falling apart. Grace and peace be unto you was one of Paul's favorite things to say, either at the beginning or at the end. He would say, grace and peace be unto you. See, grace refers to God's blessing and God's inner strength, where peace is, he is saying, that God will hold you together. You think about the first century Christians, what they went through. Could you imagine the stress levels you would have had as a first century Christian? Not sure if today you went out and lived for God and you just went to church, an underground church, and you got caught telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. You could be taken and thrown in jail, have your heads cut off. What type of stress level that would be? And Paul is saying, look, I want to offer and extend to you grace, God's blessing on your life, also peace, that he can hold your life together. And that is something that we must learn that God is trying to do, is bind our lives together by his will and by his life and his love. He is trying to teach us peace through his Holy Spirit of God. Be honest with you, I think we are moving to times where we will become more and more stressful as Christians. To live for God, we're going to face increased levels of persecution. But what God is saying, he wants to give you something. If you live for God, despite whatever the circumstances, if you allow to walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God can produce peace. This is something that is out of the grasp of even most Christians. Most Christians become agitated, they become worried, they become overwhelmed with the things of this life. But if we will just learn to let the Holy Spirit of God be in control, then we can also bear the fruit of peace. Three different directions I want us to think about peace tonight. Three different directions. First, peace from above. Peace from above. Once again, John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ's peace is a gift. He wants to give it unto you. He desires that we have peace from above, not as the world giveth. You know, the world, they have their broken cross as a peace symbol. The world, back in the late 60s, early 70s, they had their peace, and they wanted peace. They had their love movement. They had their peace symbol. They had their drugs. They had the extramarital relationships. They looked for everything to find peace. But you know what God says? Jesus says himself, he's the one that gives peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now here's the thought here. God is saying, I'm going to give you a peace, not something you can find in a bottle or in a pill bottle or in some wrong relationship. He said, I'm going to give you peace that's not like the world. See, we come to this relationship to understand that knowing God means that we know peace. You ever seen that bumper sticker? K-N-O-W, know God, know peace. And then you see on the other side of the bumper sticker, it says, N-O, know God, no peace. You know, it is truth that peace comes from God. Peace with God is available. The Bible teaches us because of sin, we have been separated from God. This sin creates a hostility between man and God. This sin creates this great conflict between man and God. God cannot commune with God because of his sin. We've even been called the enemy of God. And where did this sin begin? Did it begin with God? No. The Bible tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But the great thing is, God says we can have peace from above. Well, how does that happen? The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to make peace for us. Think about what it says in Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. See, Jesus Christ came into this world. He saw the intimacy with God and man. And man is always at war with God. You say, well, I have a friend at work who doesn't believe in God. He seems happy. He's fun. He's jovial. He tells jokes. Remember, it's not the peace of the world that God is offering. It's his peace that he's offering. And sin created hostility between man and God. But Jesus Christ came to this world to fix the problem that separates man and God. Jesus Christ came to make peace between God and man, to bridge the gap. And if you want to think about it, to bind back together what Satan had torn apart. Remember what that word in the New Testament, peace, means, to bind together. Satan had torn it all apart, the peace that was between God and man. And Christ came to this world and he bridges the gap. He combines it back together through his love. And we can have peace with God tonight because what Jesus Christ did on that cross. We were at war with God. You say, Pastor, I don't like looking at it this way. I have friends. I have people I know that say they love God, but they're not even Christians. It's not the peace that God has to offer. Psychologists like to assign blame. Psychologists like to say, because your mom didn't do this for you as a child, or your dad did this to you as a child, it's their fault. But the peace that God has to offer you is a peace that passes all understanding. He sees the problem, and the problem was the sin that had entered into the world. Christ came to deal with that sin and gives us the Spirit of God to live within us. You find a man who has religion but does not have peace. See, think about it. How many times have you asked someone, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Hopefully you've asked somebody that. And there's many times that you know what the answer is? I hope so. I would like to think so. There's no peace in that. There's no peace in wondering whether or not I'm going to heaven or not. Peace is found and says, yes, I'm going to heaven based off of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I put my faith and trust in him. It's not a hope-so salvation. There is no peace in found that. But the peace that's found can be found from above through Jesus Christ. Second thing I want you to think is not only just peace from above, we need to move quickly, is peace within. Peace within. The Holy Spirit wants to bring peace from the inside out. Remember, the Spirit of God lives in us. It's in there. It's just sometimes we bury it, and sometimes we fret, and sometimes we worry, and we fill it up so much that it never shows itself. There was, I don't know if you ever seen a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy was saying to Charlie Brown, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world. But Charlie Brown says, but I thought you had inner peace. Lucy replies, I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness. He's saying, this world bothers me. That's not where true peace is. Peace is a grace of the Holy Spirit of God. Peace is a gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Peace is a disposition that is created by the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit can spread the God-given peace into a believer's heart. Romans 15:13 says it this way, now the God of all hope, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Peace is the grace or gift the Holy Spirit God can give to you. The devil tries to rob us of our peace. The devil tries us to cause to be concerned about our flesh with trials and overwhelm us with the things of this world. But God says he can offer you peace within. It all depends on how you take the trial. It all depends how you take the testing. Some people take the testing and ask for more grace. Others worry and see how they can get out of the testing. God's grace is there to demonstrate the peace. But it goes beyond description. Think about what the Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, do we see so many people worrying and cursing God because of the things that have happened in their lives? If we have peace, we'll be able to praise God even in the dark times. We'll be able to be a living testimony. That grace goes beyond all description. I knew a girl that when I was growing up, I guess I was probably a junior in high school. This girl had been diagnosed with cancer. Her name was Gail. And as a senior in high school, it's supposed to be one of the biggest years of her life. She was diagnosed with cancer and she became bedridden. She had lost her hair at that time. I didn't know what all that was going on, but now seeing other people deal with cancer, she didn't make it through her whole entire senior year. She had died within less than a year of being diagnosed with the cancer. But I tell you, she was a testimony. She witnessed for God. When people came to visit her, she had a smile on her face and she talked about how God was good. You can't do that on your own. It's the Holy Spirit of God that can make these things available for you. God's peace is available to you, and it's beyond description. It's from the Holy Spirit of God. The word worry is derived from a German word. It's called Wurgen, which means to choke. And that's what our worries do. They choke our lives out of us, and then we have no peace. And many times we are so frantic and so fretting that we cannot do God's work. And God is not seen in our hearts and lives. The only thing that is seen is our problems. You say, okay, Pastor, how do I have peace? Let's take our Bibles here. I want to look at a couple. There's two different passages of scriptures. Isaiah chapter 26. I want you to take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 26. So how can you have this type of peace? And we've mentioned this. The way you have this peace is by connecting with God, abiding in Christ. The Bible here has some specific things that helps us and how to sustain this peace. And God's peace is sustained through the word of God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now, I mean, what an amazing verse there. See, I think that most people, if not everyone in this world, desire to live a life of peace, but many are not willing to do what makes peace happen. Yes, if we would ask, do I want turmoil? Do I want agitation in my life? Do I want to be falling apart? Do I want to be throwing in a towel? The answer would be no. But the Bible is telling us here, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Actually, let's read that all together. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isn't that a powerful verse? We are all looking for peace. And the Bible says it's right here. Here's the answer. If you'll keep your mind on God and not keep your mind on the circumstances, guess what? You can have perfect peace. Let's take our Bible now and look to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We're going to look at one of the longest chapters in all the Bible, Psalms 119. There's another famous verse that talks about peace. Psalms 119. We're going to look at verse 165. Psalms 119, verse 165. Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now, here you go. It goes back again to what? It goes back to the Bible. And it says, look, if you want to have peace, it's sustained through the word of God. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, this is something that reaches out and that sometimes we don't get a hold of. But let's remember this in our lives. If we truly want peace, where do we get it from? We get it from the Holy Spirit of God. We get it from getting to God's word. We get it from learning. The Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee." You say, "Pastor, but I've been ripped off. I've been mistreated." Is our mind on how we've been treated? Is our mind on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what the difference is. Our mind ourselves will rob us of our peace once we take our eyes off of God and take our eyes off of God's word and we place it on the circumstances. Sometimes you run across somebody who's offended. You ever met someone who's offended? You ever met somebody at church that's offended? You know, they come around, they stand like this, or you know, they want to be really spiritual, so they'll make noises. They'll do what they're supposed to do, but you know they're not happy, they're mad, they're upset. You know, there's something wrong. Now, what do you do then? You see, when you become like that, we need to understand that we might all face a moment of difficulty or frustration. But if we are always acting as if we're offended, here's a couple things I think is good to do. Ask God for grace. Ask God for grace. Secondly, get back in God's word. If there's a reason why you're offended, and if there's a reason why you're always huffing and puffing around, you know what we need to do? The Bible teaches us that we need to get back in his word. It's our problem with our relationship with God. You say our problem is with people. Now, most people are usually our problems. Most of our problems are people's problems. And you know what? We could sit here and we could preach messages how we need to fix everybody else, but that is not going to help anything. You know, 10% of the problem is how it affects us. 90% of it is how we respond to that problem. And you know, we're not going to be able to do anything to fix the 10%, but we can do so much to fix the 90%. And if we truly are looking for God's peace and letting God's peace rule in our hearts, we need to be able to umpire. And listen to what it says in Colossians 3:15. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." You know, God is saying not only can you have peace through the word of God, it can actually rule in your heart. Now, I know there might be moments of frustration and difficulties, but if we let our mind and our life remain in the gutter of frustration and anger and difficulty, we better get back to the word of God. The Bible is saying here, if our mind is on him, we'll have perfect peace. If we have great love for his law, nothing's going to offend us. So how are we going to have help here? How are we going to see it? We're going to let God's peace rule in our heart. ultimately, God's peace will enable us to have peace with others. You think about, use the idea of the umpire, how he rules. You ever seen an umpire go strike, ball, you know, he's out, he's safe. And, you know, lots of times people will argue with the umpire. They'll even yell at the umpire, come on, ump, you can get that right. You got it wrong, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what we need to do is let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Say, what do you mean? When tragedy comes, when hardship comes, when the hard times of life comes, we, instead of letting that rule, we rule it with the peace of God in our hearts and say, I'm not going to let that change me. I'm going to get back into the Bible. I'm going to look in the Word of God. I'm going to see what God's teaching me. I'm going to let the Spirit of God use this incident to bring peace from within. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Third thing, and we'll finish with this. Not only is it peace from above, peace from within, but peace all around. As I mentioned, God's desire for us is to live a peaceful life. How many of us know that we cannot control the 10%? Think about it. We can't control what those people are doing to us, but we can control how we react. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, if we think about it, well, Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, here's three quick things, because I know we're running a little late on time. God wants peace, number one, in our homes. He wants it about. If we have peace, if we have the Holy Spirit of God working in us, God wants peace in our homes. If God's peace is ruling in our heart, then guess what? Our homes are going to be a lot better. If our relationship is right vertically, our relationship will also be right horizontally. The best thing I can do for my family is to be right with God and ask him to give me grace to help and serve in my home. The Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Are we letting the peace of God rule in our hearts? Are we really truly seeking to be a peacemaker in our homes? You know, we have children here. We have husbands. We have wives. And you know what? One of the worst things that is in the problems inside our homes is selfishness. Everybody wants to have their own way. Everybody wants things to look their way, to act their way. You know, they want certain things for dinner. They think the house should look certain ways. Everybody has a fleshly desire for that. But the Bible is telling us that if we are right with God, that the peace of God will rule in our hearts, we could actually be peacemakers at home. Are you a peacemaker at home? Or as sometimes husbands take their authority that God has given them and they abuse it. They're not a peacemaker. They like to shove people around. That's a pretty sad thing when you shove around the person you're supposed to love. But sometimes wives can be manipulating, and instead of trying to do what's best and being a peacemaker with their husband, they will try to control their husband. And there's problems there. Children that aren't honoring their parents and obeying their parents, there's no peace of God there. Because a relationship is wrong with God, a relationship's going to be wrong with everyone else. And because of that, they're not truly being peacemakers. You want to know how to make things work and have let the peace of God work out in your life. It's hard to argue with someone who is always at peace, someone who's living with God and living for God. The one who becomes the servant of serving one another, being a help and a blessing, it's hard to argue with them. You might try, but you're the fool for doing that. Not only is it peace in our homes, I think God wants peace in our churches too. God wants peace in our churches. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And what God desires is that we have peace in our churches. He doesn't want it to have dissension. You know, that's the problem, is there's so many people in this world that are not looking to be peacemakers in a church, not looking to continue to see the church build and do God's work. Instead, they rather cause confusion. They rather cause dissension. They rather cause division. They rather do things that are going to break up the unity and the peace that should be inside of a church. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what? There is problems when someone walks around and complains about the church, or complains about the pastor, complains about what they think is a problem. If they have an issue, they should come talk to the pastor, come talk to leadership about things that are going on, and leave things to God, leave things with God. Obviously, I'm not talking about if somebody's preaching heresy. If someone's preaching heresy, someone should boldly stand up and say that, you know, we stand according to what the Bible says. Bible even goes as far as saying, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. He's saying as far, if you see someone who's trying to cause a division or dissension, he says you need to mark them. I'm not talking about taking a Sharpie out and writing on their forehead that they're a problem marker. I'm saying you take notice of that individual and you avoid them. You don't need to listen to them. Gossip is not mean that you have to listen to it, because if no one's willing to listen to the gossip, guess what? The gossip goes away. Amen, right? Isn't that right? Now let's think about this. If someone always comes to you and complains about the church and complains about the pastor, complains about this or that, why do they feel comfortable to come to you? Because if you're not going to be willing to listen to that, then guess what? They're not going to come talk to you anymore. They're looking for somebody they can complain about. Now you say, now, there's nothing wrong with telling your worries and prayer concerns and things like that and your prayer requests to your friends. I get that. I'm talking about people who complain and gossip, and they're not trying to help the church. They're trying to hurt the church. And if someone, they says, well, I don't know why everybody comes up and talks to me. Well, you know what? There's probably a reason for that. Do you really want to be a person that's continuing on this? I don't think so. The peace of God is supposed to rule in our hearts, in our home. Supposed to rule in our hearts in our church, and also supposed to rule in our hearts in our whole world, in our world. Then you know what? The only time you're ever going to find peace in the world is by knowing Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is a world out there today that does not know God, and because they do not know God, they do not know peace. Reform will not help them. It is only Jesus Christ that will help them. Peace is in knowing that Christ did for them on the cross. Peace is also in knowing what Christ once again will return. You know what? No matter what happens in this world today, we can have peace because we are expecting Jesus Christ to return. Listen to these last couple verses and we'll stop with this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. The Bible's saying here is that there's going to be a day and time when the world thinks that everything is peaceful and everything is great, and that's when the great tribulation is going to happen. There are a lot of people that want world peace, that they want peace in the Middle East. They want, you know, and as a believer and as a Christian, and as a member of society, we do want things to be peaceful, that's for sure. But you're never going to truly find peace until you know Jesus Christ. And the true peace is that no matter what happens in this world, we can know that Christ is returning. The Bible also says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's going to happen someday, that the government will be upon his shoulder. We can know God's peace in our heart because we have the Savior and we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. Amen. Think about this. I met somebody recently. This man, well-educated man, has a lofty position, and he came in and we talked for a few minutes. I'm going to meet with him again sometime soon. I only heard him for a few minutes, but the 5 minutes I was there talking to him, he was a man that had no peace. He was turned all around. He was upset with what's going on in the world. He talked about so many different religions, talked about so many different things. And he says, you know, they're selling children. And this was a man that was from a foreign country. He says, in my country, they sell children as slaves. And that they're not using those slaves as good things. And he says, and this is what's wrong in the world, and this is what's wrong in the world, and this is what, and I listened to him vent for like 5 minutes. And then he says, I want to know what your faith is going to do about it. And he says, I want to know more about your faith, because what he had been seeking, what he had been searching, what he had been learning, there was no peace there. He wants to fix things. And you pray for me as when I get a chance to talk to him, I'm going to encourage him, and I'm going to say that the Bible tells us that the world's going to get worse and worse. That the world itself, there is no peace in the world. There is only peace found in Jesus Christ. And he told me that his belief system has come down to this, that there's all good in some men and that we look for that good. And as I get the chance and privilege to talk to him, I'm going to try to express to him, real true peace doesn't come from us fixing the outside things. True peace comes from inside. And we will never be able to fix every single person. Once again, 10% of the problem is the people problem, what they do to you. 90% is how you respond to it. And you can't do a thing about that 10%, but you can do something about the 90%. And I think what we need to focus in our lives is we keep our eyes on Christ, we're going to be able to have a peace. I think about Peter when he got out of that boat, he took those couple steps. For those couple steps, he had that great peace. The storm was going crazy. Jesus comes walking on the water like that's the normal way. A person gets from one side of the river to the other side of the river. But Jesus comes walking on the water. Peter gets out of the boat, got his eyes focused on Jesus, takes a couple steps, and in those couple steps, perfect peace. Doesn't matter what's going on around him. But the second the big wave comes and splashes and hits him, he looks away from Jesus, and he begins to sink. Jesus still saves them. They get on the boat and they go all the way to the other side. Praise the Lord for that. But Jesus wants us to be walking as Peter did, as those few steps, with the peace of God in our lives. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's easy to say, hard to do. Because you're not going to be able to figure it out on your own. You're not going to be able to have peace when the surgery comes out bad, or when you hear the heart condition, or when you hear about the cancer. You're not going to be able to have peace when the whole world is against you and people are talking bad about you. But you can have peace as you let the Holy Spirit of God rule in your life. He can produce that. That's a fruit that's inside of you. He can do that in your heart and life. How many of us really live according to peace? How many really have the peace of God? And of those pieces that he said he was offering you, not as the world has to offer. In the world, we will face tribulation. He tells us that. He's open. He's honest about it. He doesn't say, I'm going to make all your problems go away. You're going to be rich. You're going to drive in a great car, live in a fancy house. You're never, ever going to get sick. There are people who believe that. He says, no. In the world, you're going to face tribulation. He says, but I'm offering you peace that passes all understanding. I'm offering you peace to live through those tribulations. And that's all we have to learn how to do. Connect with God, live for God, and let him take the peace that's within us and bring it out in our hearts. We have peace from above, we have peace from within, and as we have those two pieces, we can have peace with all around us, in our homes, in our churches, and even when we deal with a sin-ridden world too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.